You said elevators were dangerous, Theo reminded him. We've got a window if we're quick. As they ran, Nova's voice came through the radio, begging Thea to abort the self-destruct sequence. Thea refused, telling Nova to get to the shuttles and praying she would comply. Without the pilot, they were all dead. Visibility was awful. The strobes had thrown everything into a distorted sort of reality, shadows growing and shrinking. As the ship vented, wires hanging overhead swayed. Thea's visor became a constant flicker of heightened pulse and body temperature, and a new alert appeared, informing her that her oxygen reserves had dropped to 10%. They spilled into another hallway, so long Thea couldn't make out the end. The sound of the door sealing behind her never came, and she turned, startled. That's when something grabbed her leg. She fell backward, pain shooting up her spine as she hit the floor and came face to face with the thing that had grabbed her, an infected medic. Frostbitten flesh, eyes like black holes, dried blood covering its neck. The thing was crawling, or had been. Now it was splayed out on its belly, both hands on Thea's ankle, clawing and scratching. Thea kicked frantically, catching the thing beneath the chin, and then bringing the sparking shock rod to its torso. The infected hissed and rolled aside. Thea scrambled away like a crab. Something grabbed her arm, and she lashed out again, but it was only Cohen. He caught her arm before she could strike a blow, then helped her to her feet. She looked back at the thing that had attacked her. It wasn't alone anymore. As the strobe came around again, shining light down the hall, Thea could make out a sea of infected coming toward them. Their skin was blistered and cracked, their limbs stiff with cold. Some were crawling, others staggering, their shoulders bumping as they filed into the hallway. They were slower and clumsier than any she'd encountered so far, but much greater in number. How had they gotten onto the ship? Cohen had said the main hangar doors were closed. Were they always on the ship, or had someone, Dylan perhaps, been back through the hangar? She didn't have time to dwell on it. Cohen tugged on her arm, and she fled with him. Barely a half dozen steps, and she spotted more shadows moving at the opposite end of the hall. They were just as slow and clumsy as the ones behind her, but it wouldn't matter. Thea had only the shock rod, and Cohen the pickaxe in his backpack. He'd been able to protect himself against those infected back at Odyssey, but could he do the same in a cramped hall, with more than double that number steadily approaching?
Evacuate immediately. The ship will self-destruct in 19 minutes.
Air hissed around them, filtering into the hall. The vents! Thea gasped out. Cohen's head swung back, searching overhead. He found the nearest grate and reached up, his height just barely allowing his fingers to graze the screws. He stripped them as easily as if he was unfastening a button. The cover fell to the ground. He laced his fingers together and held them out to Thea. She put a boot into his hands, and he heaved her up as though she weighed nothing. Her palms and forearms slapped against the metal of the ventilation shaft, causing her to lose hold of the shock rod. It clattered to the floor below.
"Keep moving to the right," Cohen ordered.
She pulled her feet into the vent, only to hear a sickening crack of bones below.
"No!"
But when she looked, expecting the worst, Cohen was standing over a collapsed infected, the pickaxe buried in the thing's chest. With a yank, he tore it free. Before he could raise the weapon again, another infected was closing in. Cohen swung with his opposite hand, brandishing a sword-like blade Thea wasn't aware he carried. It sliced through a neck. The pickaxe came swinging down on another infected, catching him in the skull. He wielded the weapons like a dance, like they weighed nothing, and as though he was indifferent to the blood he sent speckling the walls and spattering the floor. As if the deaths didn't bother him. As if a part of him almost craved it. Thea could barely watch. There was another slash of the blade, and then Cohen had his opening. He jumped for the vent, hands reaching for the lip, and then he was beside her.
"What are you waiting for?"
he yelled, kicking at the hands that clawed after him.
Go!
She tried and was immediately snagged in place, the duffel on her back practically clinging to the walls of the narrow passage. Thea wrestled it off, her elbow knocking the radio from her hip in the process. She fumbled blindly, trying to locate it.
Forget it,
Cohen said, kicking again at the infected hands pawing at the opening.
Just move! Fast!
Thea rolled onto her stomach, shoved the duffel bag ahead of her in the narrow vent system, and started to crawl. Almost immediately, the muscles in her back began to protest the awkward position. Her forearms and shoulders burned. It was a relief, in a way, to know she wasn't growing strong like Cohen, that she'd been spared. And yet, at the same time, this blessing was a curse, slowing her, slowing them. Thea could hear the grunting of the infected far behind them, still trying to fight their way into the vents. If they figured out how to work together and lifted someone up, she might find herself infected after all. The metal vibrated beneath her, from her own efforts and Cohen's, but all Thea could picture was the things crawling after them. As they passed over another grate in the vent system, Thea made the mistake of looking down. A sea of shiny dark eyes stared back. The infected mob was following their process through the vents, heads tipped back and fingers reaching.
Just keep going, Cohen said. We're faster. Unless they try to cut us off and climb in elsewhere, we're fine.
Thea nodded, not sure if he could even see the response.
The vent splits ahead, she told him.
Stay straight. We're almost to the elevator.
There was another grate ahead. They'd have to cross it.
Don't look through the cover. Just keep moving.
The cover rattled, shaking from the assault of the things below.
Faster,
Cohen urged.
Evacuate immediately. The ship will self-destruct in 18 minutes.
Thea nudged the duffel onto the grate, inched herself forward. Something collided with the vents with a newfound force, and the cover blew into the shaft. Thea yelped and grabbed the bag by an arm strap, pulling it back toward her. A head appeared in the vent opening and swiveled to face her.
Toby.
He smiled at Thea, blinked those blood-filled eyes.
Left! Cohen screamed. Go left!
Thea lunged to the side, taking the other path in the ventilation system. Toby's hand grazed her boot. She kicked out, and when she felt his grip slip, she dared a look over her shoulder. Cohen was following her, also kicking. He caught Toby in the face, and the technician dropped out of view, slipping through the grate.
You said they were all dead, that you took care of everyone back near Odyssey, Thea shouted.
Clearly I was wrong, Cohen yelled back. Keep moving. We need to get out of the vents.
Thea saw another grate several meters ahead. She threw all her energy into reaching it, trying to ignore the crying fatigue of her muscles, the sting of her own sweat as it dripped into her eyes. When she reached the next grate, Thea kicked it with all her strength. It buckled. Another stomp with her boot, and it fell. Thea poked her head through. Tables overrun with rotten food, aluminum counters reflecting the red strobes. The mess hall.
Evacuate immediately. The ship will self-destruct in 17 minutes.
She threw the duffel down, then swung through and dropped to the floor. There was a soft thump as Cohen landed beside her. He drew the pickaxe from his pack and passed the makeshift sword to her. Back to back, they turned in a circle, surveying. They'd dropped into the front of the room. Just a few paces off was a sliding bay door to access the hallway, currently closed. In the opposite direction were row after row of abandoned tables. The same deceased crew members Thea had found when first casing the ship still lay slumped where they'd been killed. A bloody hand slapped against the large trapezoidal window of the mess hall door. Then another. Thea took a step away, watching as more bodies steadily filled the hall. Overhead, something creaked.
Toby,
she breathed. It was only a matter of time before he entered the mess hall.
She was willing to bet he was sharp enough to unlock doors, too. He'd let the rest of the mob in.
"The kitchen,"
Cohen said, grabbing at her shoulder. They raced between the rows of tables, cutting deeper into the mess hall, toward a buffet counter in the rear where the crew would have received dinner. Cohen didn't even bother sidetracking for the adjacent set of swinging metal doors. He braced his hands against the counter and vaulted up, sliding over the buffet and into the kitchen beyond. Thea did the same, only not nearly as gracefully.
"There's a dumbwaiter,"
Cohen said. He pulled down a metal curtain that connected with the counter and slid a latch, locking it in place.
"They used it to send meals directly to the commander's quarters."
He moved on to the next curtain, slowly sealing off the kitchen from the mess hall.
"We can use it to get to the shuttle,"
Thea said, understanding. He nodded.
"I'll barricade things here to slow them. You make sure it's clear."
Nova made her way down three flights toward a hallway that she knew had access to the central elevator. The medical floor surely had access to it, too, but the steam was making everything look the same, and she decided to take a route she was confident in. Now wasn't the time to get lost, especially not when she had Dylan still slumped against her, making every step more difficult than it should have been. Exiting a stairwell, Nova surveyed her position. To her left was the half flight of stairs to access the bridge. She moved away from it, grunting as she supported Dylan's weight, and headed toward Celestial Envoy's central elevator. Everything appeared to be moving in the flashing lights. Nova passed through a strong hiss of steam, and her heart dropped. Something was moving, just ahead, a whole horde of infected shuffling along in the hall, their heads tilted back to survey the overhead vents. Fingers clawed lazily at the ceiling.
"Evacuate immediately. The ship will self-destruct in 16 minutes.
The way to the elevator was blocked. She'd have to backtrack. Maybe she could even return to the bridge and abort the countdown. It wasn't that far, and she needed more time. Eyes locked on the infected, Nova retreated silently. She stepped on something slick, nearly losing her footing. The thing, a shock rod, she realized, shot from beneath her boot and went skittering into the wall. Even with the alarm, the noise it created felt ear-splitting. Nova froze, Dylan tensed at her side. And the things froze, too. Slowly, the one closest to them turned, peering through the steam-filled hall. It couldn't see them. Nova breathed a sigh of relief. Carefully, ever so silently, Nova took a step away. The thing's gaze snapped onto her, alerted by her movement. It turned completely and began shuffling in her direction. The others joined the pursuit. They were slow, but it wouldn't matter. Nova was slow, too, and with Dylan slumped into her shoulder, she'd never be able to get off a clean shot. Nova snatched up the shock rod and, tugging Dylan along with her, bolted back the way they'd come. The bridge was a dead end, but the stairs. She burst onto the landing. Down would be faster than up, especially with the added weight of the captain. They'd descended half the flight when Nova heard the things entering the stairwell. The dumbwaiter looked like a miniature elevator, little more than a meter and a half wide by 2 meters tall, Thea estimated. It should fit them both, but with their bags, it would be exceptionally tight. With the sword-like weapon Cohen had given her held at the ready, Thea threw a switch and the door slid up. She leapt back, waiting for something to come spilling from inside. It was empty, save for a serving cart. Thea grabbed the handle and towed the cart into the kitchen.
"Evacuate immediately. The ship will self-destruct in 15 minutes.
Summoning her nerves, Thea edged toward the now vacant dumbwaiter. She ducked inside, scanning. There were no lights, no adornments to the panels, but no threats either. It was a plain, hollow cube. Thea leaned from the dumbwaiter and shouted, "All clear!" Cohen was already running to join her.
Behind him, the metal curtains groaned as fingers threaded through the grating and pushed. Cohen had moved a tall industrial freezer in front of the swinging doors, which now rattled against the obstruction. There were so many of them.
How did they...
Toby came through the vents and opened the main doors. Let's go,
he said, ushering her back into the dumbwaiter.
Those curtains won't hold forever.
They crammed inside, Thea's helmet pressing into Cohen's chest. She stared at the blood there, the product of the things he'd slashed through like paper. He'd been so fast, so merciless, a boy monster able to push his humanity aside in that moment. It scared her a little.
Evacuate immediately. The ship will self-destruct in 14 minutes.
Cohen triggered the button that would send the dumbwaiter up and quickly withdrew his arm into the car. The door slid down, locking them in darkness. As they began their ascent, Thea heard the sound of the curtains breaking, followed by the freezer Cohen had moved crashing to its side. There was no way of knowing how many infected were now pouring into the kitchen. She was alone in the darkness, isolated, her thoughts drowning her in that small space. The darkness leached into Thea, and for the briefest moment she considered that she should drive the knife sword into Cohen's chest and leave him behind. He was the risk to the galaxy, not her. He was just like the research they were attempting to destroy, a thing that needed to disappear, something the Union could never find. But Thea's arms were pinned at her sides. There was no room to lift the weapon, and even if she could, he'd be too fast, deflecting any attack with ease. Still, the thought lingered there. Leave him. He's too dangerous. He could spell the extinction of the human race.
Are you okay?
Cohen asked, the car rattling around them.
No. Yes. Did you just hear my thoughts?
Thea, are you okay?
Relief flooded through her, and her helmet squeaked against his as she raised her head to look at him. The detached expression she'd seen when he fought in the hallway was gone, replaced now with something heavy. Concern. Sincerity.
I'm fine, she said. As fine as I can be.
He touched her elbow, such a simple gesture, and she cursed herself for even considering abandoning him. Monster or not, he was the only thing that had kept her alive, and here he was, trying to reassure her as she considered trying to murder him. The least she could do was repay the debt she owed, a life for a life. Thea would get him off this rock. No sooner had she had the thought than the car lurched to a halt.
"Are we there?"
she asked.
No, he said, brows dipping. Something's wrong.
The things were following. Nova could hear them half walking, half falling after her. She burst onto the next floor with Dylan in tow. The elevator waited down the hall, but it might as well have been a kilometer away. They'd never reach it in time. She yanked open the door to a small utility closet, shoved Dylan inside.
Evacuate immediately. The ship will self-destruct in 13 minutes.
Nova squeezed in after the captain and closed the closet door just as the first infected exited the stairwell.
What do you mean something's wrong? Thea asked. What happened?
They cut power to the lift.
Her stomach clenched with dread.
I thought they had no logic this far gone, that they'd use only force and—
Shh!
Cohen cocked his head to the side, listening. Even Thea could hear something, a clang and ping beneath them, like someone was moving into the shaft.
Toby, Cohen whispered. The heartbeat is faster, and his thoughts are louder. We have to climb.
Climb? Climb where?
Evacuate immediately. The ship will self-destruct in 12 minutes.
Cohen looked at the overhead panel. He wriggled against her until his arms were free of his sides. Reaching behind his head, he grabbed the pickaxe just below the pick and thrust it up and into the ceiling, which buckled slightly. Cohen breathed out, thrust the pickaxe up again, and this time it punched clear through the material. By the dim light of her helmet, Thea could make out the shape of the hydraulic rails that powered the lift. Two slender cylinders that extended up, 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 one on each side of the shaft. They disappeared into darkness. What she could see of the shaft appeared to be just as smooth and slick, no hand or footholds. Climb this? With the pickaxe finally free of the bag, Cohen went to work at the hole, making it wider. When it was large enough to allow them passage, he stowed the weapon, grabbed at the edges of the opening he'd made, and lifted himself through. Then he turned and offered her a hand.
"I'll slow you down," she said, staring beyond him, at the dark passage that tunneled up. The climb looked nearly impossible. She wasn't sure she could do it at any speed, let alone the pace they'd need to set to outrace Toby.
"I don't care," he said. "We're doing this together. That's what we decided in the med bay."
She grabbed his hand, and with a yank, Cohen pulled her up. Thea glanced at her oxygen readings, 8% left, then tilted her head back to observe the shaft.
"Evacuate immediately. The ship will self-destruct in 11 minutes.
Nova blinked in the dark, holding her breath. From the sound of it, the infected were moving away, heading toward the elevator, which was precisely where Nova and Dylan needed to go. But still, it was better than them attempting to open the closet. Dylan whispered,
"Where are they go?"
Nova clamped a hand over the captain's mouth, smothering the words. They couldn't risk talking, not yet. Nova waited and waited, her pulse readings flashing in her visor. When she could no longer hear the things moving in the hall, she let go of Dylan.
"I think they're heading toward the elevator,"
Nova whispered.
"Or maybe the mess hall?"
"Why?"
"Who cares? As soon as they've cleared out enough, we're making a run for it."
Dylan gritted out.
"So we just wait?"
As if Celestial Envoy could hear their conversation, as if the ship knew exactly how dire every second was, the alarm repeated its warning.
"Evacuate immediately. The ship will self-destruct in 10 minutes.
Climbing was simpler than Thea had anticipated. That was not to say that it was easy, not by a long shot. But the material of Thea's suit kept her sweat away from the metal and her grip on the hydraulic rail firm. And there happened to be footholds after all. Every meter or so, guide brackets secured the hydraulic rail to the shaft wall. They weren't large, and they didn't stick out far, but they were enough. Without them, Thea would still be standing on the lift. Roughly 4 guide brackets up, just as Thea was feeling confident that she could manage this despite her aching muscles, something sparked beneath her. She glanced down, beyond her feet, past Cohen a bracket below, and to the dumbwaiter car. Something was cutting through the floor. A laser saw.
"Toby! Faster!" Cohen yelled.
But she couldn't go any faster. Her limbs were already shaking with exhaustion. The duffel on her back had seemed to triple in weight. Below, the sparks completed their circle, and an oblong section of floor was shoved up and into the car. Toby's face appeared next, eyes glinting in the light of the still-flared laser cutter, skin taking on a sickly reddish hue. He passed the laser cutter to his mouth, a smile appearing around the handle, before he dissolved into darkness, disappearing as the laser turned off. The car rattled beneath them, echoing through the shaft as Toby climbed through the hole Cohen had made in the ceiling.
"Move!"
Cohen roared. Thea's exhaustion was suddenly inconsequential. It was there still, her limbs were still shaking, but the instinct to survive was stronger. Earlier, she'd taken her time. Now she lunged for each new bracket, relying on muscle memory to navigate the ascent. She trusted her balance to not fail her and refused to overthink each movement. her eyes stung with sweat, the shaft blurring as she blinked it away.
Evacuate immediately. The ship will self-destruct in 9 minutes.
Cohen swung his pickaxe, and Thea heard a feral hiss. The rails suddenly vibrated beneath her palms as the dumbwaiter sputtered back to life. The infected in the kitchen must have figured out how to recall the car. Soon there'd be dozens of those things scuttling into the shaft, climbing. Even if Toby fell, there would be others to replace him. Thea lunged again, her fingers skimming the next bracket. Grimacing, she pulled herself up, found a new foothold, repeated the process. Ahead, a bracket slightly larger than the others protruded into the shaft, a limit switch so the car knew where to stop. She could make out a square of dull light in the wall. That had to be the edges of the door that opened into the commander's quarters. They were almost there. Red light from Toby's laser cutter sputtered and pulsed as Thea reached for the door. She could hear the struggle beneath her, but only guess at what was happening. Cohen swinging his pickaxe, Toby lashing out in return with the laser saw. Clinging to the limit switch and toes braced against another set of brackets, Thea felt blindly along the edges of the doors. There had to be a control panel, some way to override things and open the doors manually. But this was only a dumbwaiter shaft. The passage was never meant to transport people, and it would have different emergency features from a standard elevator. If there were manual override controls, they'd be outside the shaft. Thea dug her fingers into the seam of the door and pulled with all her strength. The doors parted to reveal a sliver of the commander's quarters. Dark, save for the red flashes of the self-destruct alarm. A food cart holding an uneaten meal sat just before the doors. Behind it, a sitting area and the edge of a bed. Thea pulled harder, the doorway widening slightly. She'd never be able to hold it this way. If she tried to crawl through, the doors would snap shut on her.
Evacuate immediately. The ship will self-destruct in 8 minutes.
Give me the pickaxe!
She yelled to Cohen.
No way!
There was a whoosh and the sound of the weapon striking the side of the shaft. The hiss of an angry animal followed. Thea glanced down, only to wish she hadn't. Just a bracket below her was Cohen, and another bracket beneath him, Toby, the laser thrumming in his hand, reflecting a pinpoint of red at the center of each dark eye.
"Give it to me or we don't get out of here!" she screamed.
Cohen swung again at Toby. The technician slid down the shaft, catching himself at the next guide bracket.
"I know what I'm doing," she insisted.
He looked up at her, their eyes locking.
"You have to trust me."
Just as he'd said before she leapt from the nose of the ship with him into darkness. Something flashed across Cohen's face. She couldn't read it in the poor lighting, but she knew he could read so much about her. A spiked heart rate, for instance, the way she blinked constantly because she couldn't keep eye contact, how she'd just swallowed, trying to force away the obvious truth, that he shouldn't trust her. Not fully. Not when she'd considered abandoning him just minutes ago. And she couldn't guarantee that this would work, couldn't promise that he'd be able to get into the room before Toby managed to get to him. Cohen had to see it. From what she'd come to learn, Cohen Rivley saw everything. But he passed the weapon to her anyway, handle first, the spiked ends grazing his helmet as she drew it up. Thea wedged the pickaxe into the seam of the door and pulled back. The doors yawned open. With one hand, she shoved them open farther. With the other, she shoved the handle of the pickaxe in place so it spanned the width of the door's threshold. It barely fit, the length just centimeters shorter than the doorframe was wide. The doors clamped down on both ends of the weapon, but the pickaxe held.
"Hurry!"
Cohen shouted below her. She heard a kick and a wild growl, and then a scream from Cohen. There was no mistaking the panic in that scream. It was similar to the noise Toby had made when injured at the drilling base. Thea flung herself through the dumbwaiter door, colliding with the food cart. It wheeled away from her, drifting deeper into the commander's quarters. She rolled over and sat up, coming face to face with Cohen. His hands were braced on the edges of the doorframe, his shoulders bulging with effort.
"Evacuate immediately. The ship will self-destruct in 7 minutes."
Thea flung an arm out, and Cohen grabbed it. He weighed a ton, more than seemed humanly possible. Her arm flared hot with effort as she helped pull him into the room. When his torso was safe, she lowered him to the ground, attention snapping to movement in the dumbwaiter shaft. "Toby." The technician had grabbed Cohen's legs and was still hanging from them. He dropped the laser cutter at some point, but not before using it to slice through Cohen's suit and into his calf. The muscles slit open like filleted meat. The blood was everywhere, on Cohen's legs, his boots, covering Toby's arms. Toby continued to use Cohen like a ladder, pulling himself up, desperate to reach Thea. As his face came into view, jaws snapping, Thea kicked him as hard as she could. There was a nasty crack beneath her heel, and Toby reeled backward, letting go of Cohen. His scream echoed as he fell down the shaft. Thea tugged Cohen fully into the room. He seemed to weigh nothing now, and then kicked again, this time at the pickaxe. The weapon sprung free of its hold within the doorframe and flew into the shaft. It pinged and banged as it fell, the noise cut off as the doors slammed shut. After waiting through 3 more cycles of the alarm, Nova finally nudged the door open. The hall was blessedly empty. Afraid to waste their opportunity, she slipped from the closet and raced for the elevator, Dylan hobbling at her side. When they passed the only fork in the hallway, Nova spotted a few infected staggering from the mess hall. Sensing her movement, their heads snapped up. Nova muttered a swear and ran on, knowing they were following. She hit the call button on the elevator, each second painfully slow. Dylan slumped into Nova's shoulder. As the infected rounded the corner, the elevator doors parted. Nova dragged Dylan in, and as the car jolted to life, she enjoyed 10 seconds of utter bliss, complete safety. It was over too soon. The car slid to a halt at its destination, and the doors opened. Nova scanned the hallway with her rifle. The only thing moving through the steam was the flashing lights of the alarm.
"Come on,"
Nova said, dragging Dylan beside her. It was the right hallway, at least. The nearest door was labeled with an administrator's last name. She tried the handle. Locked. She tried the quarters opposite it. Also locked.
"Evacuate immediately. The ship will self-destruct in 6 minutes."
The elevator doors clicked shut, and the car immediately descended. If the infected had recalled it...
"Take this,"
Nova said, passing Evans's pistol to Dylan. The captain now had Thea's stun gun in one hand and the pistol in the other, but she didn't particularly look like she had the strength to lift or fire either. Her shirt was drenched with sweat, her eyes droopy. It was amazing she hadn't passed out yet.
"Anything comes out of that elevator," Nova continued, "you shoot it."
Dylan nodded weakly. Nova lowered the captain to the floor, then moved up the hall, checking each door as she went. They were all locked. If it wasn't for the pulsing evacuation lights, the commander's quarters almost looked untouched by the madness that had spread throughout the rest of Celestial Envoy. The bed was made, the glass walls of the shower glinted as if they'd just been cleaned. A food cart waited near the table, reflective lid still resting on a serving tray that surely held rotten food. The glass was full of frozen water. Thea could almost imagine it. This meal had just arrived when word of John Lee's injury reached Commander Lowe. He'd been called away to visit the med bay. He'd left the food, untouched, and never returned. If only he'd boarded his shuttle instead. Thea ran to the docking bay and peered through the airlock's small hexagonal window. A short-range shuttle waited on the other side. She could make out its modest interior, including the pilot seat and a portion of the dash. A visor alert flashed, warning Thea that her oxygen reserves were at a dangerous 5%. She reached for the radio, only to remember she'd lost it in the vents. If Nova didn't show up soon...
Evacuate immediately. The ship will self-destruct in 5 minutes.
She turned back to Cohen. He was still slumped against the wall beside the dumbwaiter, legs stretched before him like a rag doll. Despite the horrific injury, he was no longer gritting his teeth through the pain. Thea watched as he shook out his leg, flexed his foot. Then Cohen wiped the blood from his injured leg and peeled the suit back. The cut from the laser was gone, his calf marred by nothing but a pale line.
"Not gonna lie,"
he said with a smile.
"That is the strangest sensation I've ever felt. Even stranger than hearing Tarlo's thoughts."
"Well, enjoy it," Thea said, "'cause we're going to be incinerated in a matter of minutes." A bang in the hallway drew their attention to the main door. Springing to action, they raced across the room, and Thea used the control panel there to view what waited on the other side. Nova, pounding frantically at the door, with Dylan slumped against her. One of the captain's legs dragged, limp and broken. She was no longer wearing a single piece of her suit, and she looked close to losing consciousness. Dried blood covered her neck and shoulder. Worse still was what Thea spotted behind them, a team of infected, flashing in and out of visibility on account of the emergency strobes, crawling over each other, jaws snapping as they made their way up the hall.
"Evacuate immediately. The ship will self-destruct in 4 minutes.
"Let them in," Cohen said, elbowing Thea away from the controls.
"Look at the blood on Dylan," Thea spat back. "She's infected."
"Then why would Nova be carrying her? She knows how this works. Dylan must have gotten hurt some other way."
"But
if we don't let them in, we don't have a pilot, and we all blow up in 4 fucking minutes.
He was right. Thea knew he was, and yet she still froze up. In her idleness, Cohen toggled the controls. The door sprang open, and Nova staggered through, dragging Dylan with her. She lowered the captain to the floor and then buckled over, her own palms braced against her thighs as she gasped down air. The door resealed with a hydraulic click, but Thea didn't feel an ounce of relief. Her eyes were glued on Dylan's neck and the second bandage positioned below her ear. Scratches marred her skin.
"How did that happen?"
Thea asked, pointing at the blood.
"Engine room,"
Dylan grunted out, her eyes on the floor. It was a lie, and a bad one at that. They'd have had no reason to be in the engine room. Something had gotten its hands on Dylan Lowe.
"Evacuate immediately. The ship will self-destruct in 3 minutes.
Outside in the hall, infected bodies slammed into the door, the sound of their nails shrill and piercing as they clawed at the surface. They didn't have time for this, and Thea hadn't made it this far to be screwed over by Dylan Lowe, again. In fact, she saw the solution now. It wasn't easy or kind, but Dr. Tarlo had said that the responsible path rarely was.
"Dylan can't come," Thea said firmly.
"Of course she can,"
Nova replied. "She's been infected. Look at her neck. Those scratches."
"It's not from one of those things."
"Really?
Would you bet your life on it? Would you bet ours?" Nova stared directly at Thea, their eyes locked. Her silence alone was answer enough, but then Nova broke eye contact first, her gaze flitting to the floor as she swallowed. That was all the confirmation Thea needed.
"Let's go,"
Thea said.
"Dylan stays."
"We can't just leave her,"
Nova yelled.
"I'm fine,"
the captain insisted through gritted teeth. But she wasn't. They were hiding something. Thea could sense the lie edging up against her intuition, a wrinkle she could feel even when they insisted there was nothing there.
"Cohen?"
Thea said, turning to him for help.
"Leave him,"
Dylan went on.
He's the one Evans told us to question. But I am getting off this damn rock.
She braced her hands on the floor and, with her weight on her uninjured leg, managed to stand. That's when Cohen burst into action. His arm shot out, connecting with the captain. Dylan toppled away, arms windmilling, as she collided with Nova. The next thing Thea knew, Cohen's hand was tightening on her utility belt, yanking her nearer. Thea's back slammed into his chest, and one of his arms came over her shoulder, pinning her there. The other trained a gun on the women. Not a stun gun. The pistol. Thea blinked, sure she was mistaken. But there it was, Pitch Evans's weapon. The gun that had killed Dr. Tarlow. Cohen must have lifted it off Dylan when he'd shoved her.
Trust me,
he whispered as she began to arch against him, his helmet grazing hers. Across the way, Nova had managed to get her ray rifle up and aimed. Dylan had slumped back to the floor, and though she looked close to passing out, her stun gun was now aimed in their direction as well. And Theo was serving as Cohen's shield. If either of the women got off a shot, it was Thea who would feel the blow.
Trust me, he said again quietly. They can't hit you. I'll see it coming.
And she believed him, because she'd seen his speed, the unnatural reflexes that let him dance around attackers.
I could take that away from you before you even started to pull the trigger.
Thea stood very still, her pulse pounding in her ears.
I'm going to make this decision very simple for everybody, Cohen announced. We all get on the shuttle, or I shoot our pilot and everyone dies when that countdown hits zero.
You wouldn't, Nova said.
Want to bet your life on that?
The pilot's face paled at the echo of Thea's original question.
So what do you say, Captain?
Cohen continued, now addressing only Dylan.
Should we die here because you've been brainwashed by Pitch Evans's warning, or do you want to tell your pilot to stand down so we can all get off this rock?
This was Cohen's plan? To bring Dylan, the contagion in its most dangerous form, with them?
Evacuate immediately. The ship will self-destruct in 2 minutes.
Nova, lower your weapon, Dylan ordered.
The pilot complied. Nova dragged Dylan across the threshold and into the short-range shuttle. Cohen and Thea were arguing behind her, but she didn't have time to make sense of their words. As they secured the airlock, Nova raced to the pilot's seat. Her fingers flew over dials and switches. The shuttle hummed with power. The dash blinked a light.
Buckle in!
She shouted over her shoulder, though there was no time to waste, even if they weren't. Diagnostics flickered across her desk. The shuttle was ready. As they undocked, Nova could make out a final muffled alert.
Evacuate immediately. The ship will self-destruct in 1 minute.
She steered them away, straight and hard, like a bullet on an unalterable course. Nova Singh raced for the stars. The blast chased them, a wave catching up to the shuttle's tail and rocking them violently. The dash flashed with warnings that quickly faded. The exterior hull was holding strong. The shields had done their job. They were off planet. The thing couldn't move. Spine broken, thoughts fractured, it watched the others scrambling up the dumbwaiter shaft, chasing the heartbeats it could scarcely still hear. Some crawled over the thing, no regard for where they stepped. But there was no pain, not until the ship exhaled, and suddenly the pain was everywhere, a heat that seemed to originate in the thing's core and then explode outward, scorching down its limbs. In the blink of an eye, the thing became nothing and everything, a billion pieces of dust scattered across the night. And in that tiny eternity, the thing remembered that it had a name. It was an ancient memory, a flickering star, a whisper that had danced just out of reach, before reality collapsed inward, exploding with a blinding burst of light.
10. The Escape. Exodus. Interstellar Airspace. Once the shuttle was flying smoothly, the rattle of the blast behind them, Nova let out a heavy exhale. She breathed in and out. In and out. Her pulse was still beating wildly in her ears, her visor flooded in red warnings. Probably it had been like this the past 20 minutes, only she'd been too preoccupied to truly notice. As her heart slowed and her visor cleared, she felt an unbearable pressure lift from her shoulders. She'd done it. The impossible. She'd gotten what remained of their crew off Achlis. She'd need to program a distress beacon soon, if they had any hopes of hailing the incoming Hevet's rescue crew. But Nova wanted just a moment longer of this relief, the quiet liberation. She leaned into the pilot seat and exhaled at the stars. They winked, exhaling back. Thea unhooked from her harness, but remained seated, too exhausted to move. Her oxygen was down to 3%, plus whatever she had left in her suit. She'd have to ditch it soon, but not yet. Not until she was sure it was safe. She watched Dylan Lowe, who was breathing heavily in her chair, on the verge of passing out. The only thing holding the captain upright was her fastened harness. Thea reached for the pistol Cohen still held, surprised when he let her fingers close over the barrel, and even more shocked when he let her take it from him. Maybe he'd known all along that it might come to this. Getting them all on board had simply been a move to placate Nova, who clearly cared for the captain in a way Thea had not noticed before. She looked at the weapon, then at Dylan Lowe. A gun on a shuttle this small was disastrously dangerous, but to not use it could be even riskier. She would wait, and if she had to, Thea would pull the trigger. The weight of the entire galaxy seemed to rest on her shoulders. Had Cohen felt this too, a responsibility as immense as space itself? To contain, to protect, to keep the contagion on Achlis? She understood finally why he'd never tried to contact Hevet's after the outbreak, why he'd cut Odyssey's comm lines, why he'd lied to her by omission. But his will to survive had been strongest, and he'd seen hope in the form of Thea's crew, seen hope in her. He hadn't been able to give up, to roll over without a fight, and now she was no different, willing to kill so that she could live, so the entire Union could live.
"It's empty," Cohen said beside her.
"What?" she said.
"The gun. Dylan used the final bullet to shoot your doctor. It's been unloaded since then."
And yet he'd made his threats with it, known that Dylan would miss his bluff. All that time carrying the pistol after Dr. Tarlow's death, and the captain hadn't been aware that she was out of ammunition.
"There's one cryo bed," he said. "We can put her under. Wait and see."
"You think that really happened in the engine room?" Thea said, nodding at the second bandage on Dylan's neck. "That she got gouged by some machinery?"
"Even if not, she still doesn't have a nosebleed."
He glanced at Nova, who was deep at work programming a distress beacon, then dropped his voice to a whisper.
"She might be young enough."
"Young enough to harbor Psychrobacter Achlis," Thea thought. "Young enough to coexist with the uninfected, like Cohen." She considered explaining it all to Nova, wondering if it would encourage the pilot to come clean about how Dylan's injury had truly occurred. But Thea didn't fully trust Nova, not after being left behind twice on that rock, and the last thing she wanted was to give Nova a reason to abandon her again. Thea was young, after all. So was Cohen. Even if she left out that Cohen was infected, they would both look suspect.
"Never mind," Cohen said. "There's our answer."
Nova heard Dylan's harness unlatch and turned in time to watch the first drop of blood fall from her nose. It seemed to fall in slow motion, spattering on the floor between the captain's bare feet.
"Dylan?" Nova said tentatively. The captain wiped at her nose with the back of her hand. It came away red. Her head snapped up, eyes locking with Nova's as blood dripped freely from her nostrils.
I'm okay,
she said, spinning the silver bracelet on her arm like a nervous tick. But her head twitched as she said it. A shudder racked her body.
It's okay.
It wasn't. Nova could see it now, the truth that she'd feared but had been too stubborn to confront back on Celestial Envoy. How had she ever believed that Toby's attack wouldn't prove fatal? The captain lurched out of her chair and collapsed to all fours. She crawled toward the airlock, then pulled herself upright against it, fingers leaving a faint trail of blood across the stenciled letters that read Exodus. Those same fingers curled into a fist, and the captain punched the switch to open the internal airlock door.
Dylan?
Nova muttered, darting forward. She was vaguely aware of the others behind her, Thea searching the floor for the stun gun Dylan had been carrying, Cohen with Nova's ray rifle now aimed at the captain.
I deserve this,
Dylan said,
after what I did.
She glanced at the control panel, and for one sickening moment, Nova thought the woman might open the exterior door too, flushing them all into space. If she couldn't live, no one could. It sounded just like Dylan, stubborn to a fault.
Don't, Nova spit out. Don't you dare take us down with you.
Hurt flashed across Dylan's face.
I'm sorry. I wasn't the person you wanted me to be, she said. If there was more time, I think I could have become her, though.
A shiver racked her body.
Maybe.
She backed into the open bay, shaking against her will as she unlatched the silver bracelet from her wrist.
Take a piece of me home,
she said, tossing it at Nova's feet.
Dylan...
Nova breathed, but she didn't know what else to say. There weren't enough words. The captain grimaced as a tremor shook her body.
If I can't do it, I need you to do it for me.
Can't do what?
I'm sorry,
Dylan said through gritted teeth.
About everything.
She toggled the interior door, and it slid shut, separating her from the rest of them in the shuttle. Nova darted to the hexagonal window, peering through. Dylan hunched over, arms wrapped around her middle, and sweat dripping from her as she convulsed.
You can't leave her in there, Cohen shouted. She'll just reopen the door.
Nova knew. She knew, and she understood, but that didn't make the weight of the task less consequential. A hand slapped against the airlock window, and Nova jumped back. Dylan was standing upright again, her mouth slick with blood, the whites of her eyes now bloodshot, a dark red ring around her blue irises. Nova stared, but did not recognize the woman staring back.
If I can't do it, I need you to do it for me. Goodbye, Dylan,
Nova whispered. She slammed her hand down on the toggle. The external door flew open, and Dylan Lowe was ejected from the airlock, the vacuum of space siphoning her to oblivion. Thea felt supercharged, every sense alert and sharp as Dylan's final moments replayed in her head. She'd seen it through the small airlock window, the captain's eyes filling with blood, the exterior door opening, Dylan's body being sucked into space as though a rope was tied around her torso, arms and legs reaching for the exodus in a final, desperate plea. Nova had picked up the bracelet and retreated to the pilot's chair in a trance, staring numbly at the controls as she set their heading for Sotir.
It was the only way, Thea assured her. If you didn't do it, one of us would have.
The pilot nodded meekly.
That's two,
she muttered.
Two people at my hands.
She'd have tallied many more if she'd ended up flying for the Union military, but Thea didn't say anything. She imagined it was much different to take a life up close, to see their faces, especially if it was a person you cared deeply for. And it was obvious Nova had cared for Dylan. Even when all evidence suggested the captain wasn't worthy of it, Nova had felt something for her.
"You lucky bastard," Nova said, side-eyeing Cohen.
Her voice was no longer faint, but edged with anger.
"How the hell did you make it back to us? All those infected at Odyssey, and you escaped without a single scratch?"
Her eyes trailed the length of his suit. Facing her, the breach from where Toby's laser cutter had sliced into his calf was hidden from view.
"Luck, just like you said," Cohen responded smoothly. "Thanks for leaving me, though. I'm sure it wouldn't have been any easier to fight my way free if I'd had some backup."
"Cohen," Thea said, throwing him a glance. They didn't need an argument now.
"What, I'm supposed to feel bad that I survived when that pretentious asshole didn't?"
He threw a hand toward the airlock.
"She's the reason half your crew is dead. If she'd just listened to me from the beginning, if she hadn't been so stubborn..."
He didn't finish the thought. And he didn't need to. Thea knew where it was going. He was right, but that didn't change anything now.
"I can't sit here anymore,"
Nova said, lurching to her feet.
"I need sleep."
Thea didn't understand how anyone could sleep after what they'd just witnessed, even if they had been running flat out since stepping from Odyssey's cryo chamber nearly 8 hours earlier.
"But what if..."
"We're on autopilot," Nova said to her, "and the distress beacon will broadcast every 30 seconds. With any luck, the backup Hevitz crew will intercept it in a few hours. You can pull me out when that happens."
"I'd feel better if you just napped," Thea argued, staring at the lone cryopod. "What if we need you? You're the only one who knows how to fly this thing."
"It'll be fine," Cohen interjected. "When a pilot says she needs sedated sleep, you don't stand between her and her deep, knocked-out slumber."
Or maybe Cohen just didn't want their pilot to keep questioning him or discover his secret. It didn't matter. Thea was outnumbered, and she let the argument die. The kiss of gas was blissful. Nova breathed deeply, overjoyed at the way her pulse slowed and her thoughts calmed. How the guilt lifted free like dirt in water. How she could no longer feel the silver bracelet she'd fastened on her wrist. She would wake to help dock Exodus with the rescue cruise ship, or she would die in the pod when life support failed. If it was cowardly to leave Thea and Cohen facing the vastness of space, the thought did not occur to Nova. Her heart was too broken, her guilt too heavy. She couldn't sit in the pilot's chair, couldn't bear the thought of staring at the stars that used to welcome her home. They were still home, but they were tainted now. They'd become Dylan Lowe's grave, and it had happened at her hands. Just like with Sullivan. If only she'd listened to her cousin. He'd warned her from the beginning about Dylan Lowe, and yet Nova had put some level of faith in the captain, let the woman lead them into the ashes of destruction when everyone could have been spared if they'd simply been more cautious. That woman ruined everything, even the stars. Never again would Nova march forward so blindly. Never again. Reality faded, and Nova was dragged into a deep, peaceful sleep. An hour later, Thea finally ditched her suit. It had run out of oxygen as Nova settled into the stasis pod, and Thea didn't need it anymore regardless. It wouldn't keep her from freezing or running out of air if life support failed. The Hevitz backup crew would answer Exodus's distress beacon, or she'd die. Those were the potential outcomes. She might as well be comfortable until then. Plus, she really had to pee. She relieved herself in the ship's closet-sized restroom, wishing desperately for a shower. Her t-shirt was drenched and clinging to her body, and while her leggings had stayed mostly dry, she stunk. Badly. Still, her lips curled into a smile. It was a blessing to smell things so vividly. The filtration system of the suit had left her world bland and foreign. She kicked the suit aside and used a wipe from the wash station to pat her face clean.
Then she yanked her fingers through her tangled hair, peeling dark and sweaty strands from her neck and securing it back with an elastic. When she exited the bathroom, she found that Cohen had also shed his suit. With his coveralls once again tied at the waist and a plain shirt stretched tight at the widest parts of his shoulders, he looked like any other kid from Hearth City. Cocky, young, hungry.